What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Getting on back to wokeness and education. Down in Florida, the Florida Department of Education has rejected 54 mathematics textbooks from its curriculum last Friday. And the reason the textbooks were rejected, remember, these are supposed to be math textbooks, mathematics, you know, algebra, geometry, things like that. And the textbooks that were rejected included references to critical race theory, inclusions of Common Core, which was a major disaster, the unsolicited addition of social-emotional learning in mathematics, and all three of these are banned in the state of Florida. And, of course, the liberals are out there saying, oh, you're crippling our kids, and so forth and so on here. Now, interestingly enough, according to the Associated Press, the rate of homeschooling here in the United States remains very high. And the article is saying, well, you know, the schools are reopening, the pandemic is more or less over, and, you know, they should be going back to the school. It may have nothing to do with the pandemic. When you look at what is being taught to kids in these public schools, parents are going to be very concerned. And there is a lot of homeschooling around this part of Indiana. And you know, and they're producing really great kids, I got to tell you here. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Mike in Kentucky. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I didn't hear the beep. Am I on the air?
You're on the air. I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me? Great. Okay, usually you hear that big burst of static. I must have missed it. Anyway,
yep.
In Kentucky and a lot of other states over the last few years, they've basically made it illegal, or if you're a licensed counselor or even a minister, I think, they've tried to shut out the possibility if somebody is born with two X chromosomes and yet they feel like they're male, or they're born with two Y chromosomes or XY chromosome and 23 pair and they feel like they're a girl, and maybe they have other manifestations of their hormonal problems, like they've got moobs, you know, or they're growing a mustache, you know, and they have these gender dysphoric-like issues, the counselors cannot offer to send them to an endocrinologist that's willing to correct their hormonal problems. They are
I think part of the problem is that this whole gender dysphoria is being sold as an agenda. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, boys were boys, girls were girls. Nobody ever had any confusion about that. This whole idea
that tomboys. I was growing up. I grew up with tomboys, and you know,
I had some tomboys in my family, but you know, they were described as tomboys because of the way they acted, but they thought they were girls. You know, and you know, this is being sold, and it's being sold to children really before they're ready to emotionally deal with this. But the idea that your gender is something other than your biological sex, it really does not make a lot of sense. Anyway, Mike, sorry to cut you off, but I've got a caller calling long distance, and I want to keep their phone bill down. So we're going to go to Sebastian in Sweden. Hello, Sebastian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Mike, I was going to call last night, but I couldn't find my phone. Now I found it, and the battery's going to could die, it could drop, so
okay,
it's because
well,
of the battery.
Fast.
I just want to comment on the, sorry?
I said talk fast.
Yeah, okay, I just want to comment on the riots. The guy who is, he's running for politics, he's half Danish and half Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got both Danish and Swedish citizenship. He's a lawyer, actually, in Denmark. He's a guy who was, you know, burning the Quran. And, the politician, the thing is, Sweden does have sort of like a constitution. It's called a grundlag, which is the basic. And we do have freedom of speech here. And that comes under the heading of freedom of speech. So it's not illegal to do that. Of course, it's bad taste. You know, it just causes, you know, disruption.
But unless they religious war, you know,
it's exactly.
Just that the prime minister is supporting this guy.
Well, the prime minister doesn't support him. He's supports the law here in Sweden. Okay, when I came to Sweden, there were two countries in Europe that you could say anything about the Holocaust. That was Britain and Sweden. No other countries you could say anything, you'd be put in jail. They were the only two countries in Europe. But now I think both of them has gone, you know, that you can be put away if you say something. I'm not sure about it, but it's possible.
You know, there's something funny about that. I mean, you know, Hitler is accused of killing 6 million Jews, and he gets all the headlines and all the movies and everything. Mao killed, you know, many, many more millions of people than that. We hardly ever hear about him.
Or Stalin.
Or Stalin. Matter. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I want to call up about. It's the, and it, right now it's sort of died down, but it's that time of the year when even if people don't burn Qurans, they seem to burn, in their neighborhood, they burn cars a lot. Every spring, you know, the Muslim neighborhoods in Sweden. And we do have a lot of radical Muslims in this country. They came 2015, and they came as like 12, 13-year-olds when they were 30, and they were, I'm sure we have a lot of ISIS soldiers. We have more shootings, killings in Sweden than any other country in Europe. We're number one. So, you know, gang wars, number one. You know, rapes in Europe, number one. Only after South Africa in the world.
Boy, that's pretty bad.
So, you know, yeah, it is bad. So it's a bad situation here. But one thing, we don't want a world war, that's for sure. I can see, I've been around, and I've talked to people. I've talked to people in the First World War that went over in the Somme, you know, and it was, you know, people don't want a world war. You know, that's
nobody
just
wants war. You know, only the politicians and defense contractors, you know, want war. You know, the people who are, you know, in that church of the military, they think war is really wonderful. But the overwhelming majority of ordinary human beings, we just want to, you know, have a decent life. We want to take care of our kids. It's like John Kennedy said, we all cherish our children's future, and your children don't really have much of a future if bombs are falling all around them.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to say, Mike. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
I certainly will. Thank you very much. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And boy, I hate being right all the time. One American News is running a story right now saying that the real rate of inflation is above 15%. So, yeah, there we are on that. Down in Alabama, Governor Kay Ivey has signed legislation that outlaws gender medications for youth. And, you know, under the new law, doctors who prescribe puberty blockers or hormonal treatments could face criminal penalties for prescribing these medications to anybody under the age of 19. And, of course, the LGBTQ trans communities out there screaming, oh, it's discrimination, it's this, it's that. And, no, it isn't. It's child abuse is what it is when they do this to kids. And I remember, I think it was about a week ago, I was reading on Twitter, and there was this mother who, you know, was trying to transition her child. And was out there saying, well, my child doesn't want to take those medications anymore, so I'm having to grind them up and hide them in her food. I'm sorry, that's child abuse in my mind here. Over in New Jersey, public school students as young as 10 years old could be taught that puberty blockers are an acceptable way to manage their adolescence so they don't go through the emotional upheaval and turmoil that occurs when your body starts to change. And it's sort of like chemically gelding these kids. And I think that's very, very ugly thing. I mean, it's part of nature. It's part of human nature. When you are in that area between being a child and being an adult, there's a lot of emotional turmoil. And of course, there was that book, Coming of Age in Samoa, that tried to claim that, no, it didn't exist in Samoa, and that therefore we could, re-engineer people by re-engineering the environment, the foundation of liberalism, turned out, of course, to be nonsense. The Samoan kids have just as much upset and angst as anybody else here. Because of all of this, according to this story coming on out of Blabberbuzz, the Democrats are losing support of parents. ahead of the midterms. Parents are looking at all of this nonsense that's coming down, the transgenderism, the exposing of two young children to these sexual issues, of basically saying parents don't have any right to control what their kids are being taught. We're seeing that from school boards all across the country that are loaded up with liberals saying, no, you parents, you will decide what your child is going to be taught and indoctrinated with, and you've got nothing to say about it. That is definitely going to impact the Democrats on the upcoming midterms. And I agree with Naomi Wolf. The Democrats are going to have to pull some kind of a really dramatic stunt, like forcing us all to vote by mail to try and cling to power. Now, there's a little bit of good news out there. This is coming from LifeSite News. And it's noticing that finally some of the people in the corporate media are beginning to sort of question this transgender insanity, such as transgender males competing in women's sports. And in fact, over in the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said biological males should not be allowed to compete in women's sports. And he also said that parents should have a say in their children's potentially life-changing decisions about gender identity. And I'm in agreement on that one. Okay, now over at the University of Buffalo, there was this student who invited a conservative speaker to speak at an event. This was Therese Purcell, president of the Young Americans for Freedom. Said she and fellow members wanted to basically invite Black Republican Lieutenant Colonel Alter West to speak on how he overcame racism, and they were hunted down and harassed by the woke crowd on campus. Meanwhile, and this is not the first time we've seen this, at the University of Michigan School of Education, Deborah Loewenberg Ball, a mathematics professor and a former dean, is out there claiming that proficiency in math is white supremacy. Okay? Ball is out there saying math is a harbor for whiteness, and the very nature of the knowledge and who's produced it and what is counted as mathematics is dominated by whiteness and racism. Actually, not exactly. Mathematicians generally agree the world's greatest number theorist in history was from India, Srinivasa Ramanujan. The man was absolutely brilliant and not white. So a little bit of an embarrassment there. All righty, we have another caller on the line. Layla in Canada, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. I wanted to talk about Ukraine and what everyone is calling the Jews that are in control of Ukraine. You've had David Duke and others on RBN keep referring to Ukraine as the stronghold of Jews. Actually, I would like to propose something that is far more historic.
Okay.
We know that ideologies can be passed on for generations. And I believe it is the remnants of the Khazaria, the Khuzar or the Khazar, whatever we want to call them. That is what has remained as the dominant force in terms of the political and military activities of the people who today call themselves Jews. If we refer to the elders of the Protocols of Zion, there's no way that they could have advanced a military, political, global plan unless it were acceptable to the majority of the people until they were actually in control. So they needed a smokescreen. The best smokescreen was religion. And since Christianity adhered to or believed they were descendants of Judaism, they used Judaism as their cover. And along with that, as you know, when Zionism first came out, a lot of Jews were opposed to it because it actually denounced the principles of how the new Israel was to be founded. It was not to be founded after the so-called Third Temple was rebuilt. It was only to be established by the Messiah himself when he came, according to the old Jewish rabbinical theories.
Okay.
The Messiah would come, and then he would reestablish a just world like heaven on earth. And only after that would the kingdom of Judah or Israel or whatever be restored. And they have militarized it and reversed it and made it seem that they have to put everything in place because God isn't capable of doing it. So they have to do it in order to make it receptive to God. That is an absurdity, but it is acceptable to people who are of various other religions, except possibly Islam, who lived amongst the early Jews and early Hebrews, the Yahudim. That's what they were, because if you read the Old Testament, as I have done thoroughly, there is no reference to Jews. It is Yehuda. And Yehuda was the founder of the land that became Yehudim, or what we call today Judah or Judea, being the Greek version of it. So I believe that the concept, the philosophy of Khazaria, which, by the way, was defeated because they were a parasitic group of people who they were right on the territory where the trade caravans from China, which is why it's called the Silk Road, it would come from China all the way to the rest of the Arabian Peninsula, and from there it would be dispersed to other areas where they would conduct trade for different things. So any of the caravans coming through their land would be stopped, and they would have to pay a toll in order to pass unmolested.
Yes.
And they were always attacked. It continued even in England, the tradition of the highway robbers. I mean, that was what happened on all trade routes or all civilian travel. People would be held up and robbed. And so it was the duty of the king to protect the people. But in this case,
and that's why the Templars invented the traveler's check.
Oh, I didn't know that it was the Templars who had done that. But yes, it was a common thing. And anyway, I don't want to get off track of the point I'm trying to make, that it is not the Zionist mafia, nor is it the Jewish mafia. It is actually the Khazarian mafia that has remained hidden at the roots behind it all. If we look at the YouTube video that I sent you, I don't know if you had time to look at it. I sent it while Claire was in crisis, so I doubt you had time to look at it. There's a YouTube video.
Yeah, I kind of missed a lot of mail when Claire was dealing. Yeah, it was a big distraction, I'll be honest. You know, what can I tell you?
Of course. But I sent you a video that I had found on France 24 showing, or actually it was an Israeli 24 cable channel that showed a meeting between Netanyahu in 2019 with Zelensky, where Netanyahu was claiming Ukraine was the homeland of the Jewish people, the second homeland, because of course they claimed Palestine.
I actually do remember seeing that video. I do remember seeing that, yes.
Okay, and he talked about, we know that Vladimir Jabotinsky was his nickname, Vladimir Jabotinsky was a fascist, and he established Beitar, the very brutal militant group in Israel, in early Israel. The Bolsheviks came out of Ukraine, not just Russia, but according to many academics who researched it, when I was doing the research many years ago, the Khazars were finally defeated by a coalition of the Persians and the Russians because Khazaris were attacking and destroying the trade routes. And so Persia and Russia together defeated the Khazari kingdom, which was made up of the Turkic tribes and Mongols. And they are the ones, they imported some rabbis, and rabbi means teacher in the Semitic language, Rebbe.
Yes.
They imported them into Khazaria to teach the people what Judaism was. Prior to that, everyone practiced shamanism or Tengrism.
Okay, Layla, I am sorry. We are at a commercial break here. Thank you for the history lesson. We'll be back with more phone calls after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
Welcome back to our show. Here we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, can you repeat the name of that idiot at the University of Michigan who spouting that nonsense about math and white?
Oh, boy, I already deleted that from the talking points. The story is currently up at... it isn't. It scrolled off the bottom here. I'll have to go back and let's see. Let me do this and this. Was it the math professor?
Yeah,
Deborah Lowenberg Ball. That was it.
Deborah Lowenberg
Ball, mathematics professor and a former dean at the University of Michigan School of Education. And she's out there saying that math is a harbor for whiteness. So I guess if you say 2 plus 2 equals 4, they'll take you off to room 101 and torture you or something. I don't know.
Make you say it's 5, yeah.
Yeah.
You know my background in the sciences. Look,
yes.
I've been around the universities long enough, was around long enough to know that the weakest, the laziest, the most shiftless students in a university are in the College of Education. They typically attract academically untalented students.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't surprise me that you would find this coming out of the College of Education.
Well, you know the old saying, those that can do, do, those that can't, teach.
Yes, and unfortunately, I think you're right. You know, I have to say in response to that that, you know, in my career as a geologist, has taken me around the world, and I've worked with people from all colors and set, you know, they're engineers and geologists in Africa and in South America, and I think that they would probably laugh at that.
I'm sure they would, but, you know, I remember when I went to college, my major was originally astronomy because I'd been having the, you know, good time over with NASA JPL and everything. And I remember my professor of astronomy in college, I knew more than he did. And, you know, he was okay with that. He wound up having me involved in the tutoring program for the other students and everything. But, yeah.
Well, I think that really, when you hear things like that coming from academics in colleges of education, that really ought to raise a red flag among people who are sending your children to school. The last place you want your child to end up at a university is in a college of education.
And well, it's not confined to the College of Education, because I have this other story I was just about to get to. This is at Boston University, and it involves a professor, Ibram X. Kendi. He's a professor in the humanities and director of the Center of Anti-Racist Research, is out there declaring that Republicans are the party of white supremacy, and attempts to limit the teaching of critical race theory is grooming children to be racist. I mean, that's
well,
how extreme this has all become.
I was going to work my way through the schools at a university that are not worth sending your child to. Humanities and social studies are also on the list. They produce students who absolutely have no marketable skills, and who, when they graduate, are really nothing more than people who are going to complain on their lives, because they'll be victims for the rest of their lives because they have no marketable skills.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, graduates of colleges of education end up in a school system. They have some career potential. But they graduate not as educators, but as indoctrinators.
Yeah, well, that's certainly, you know, the way that it's going here. And I remember, again, when I was in college, and I changed my major from astronomy to theater because I was starting to get into that whole movie thing. And I remember I encountered some resistance of a term paper I wrote about the future impact of computers on theater and movie technology. Of course, this is all back in the 70s. And, you know, I talked to the dean of the theater department. And he said, well, you know, we're not really training people to get into the industry. We're creating theater professors and teachers and stuff like that. And I said, I wish you'd told me that, you know, before I spent all this money and wasted all this time here. And
unfortunately, the kicker on that is I took that term paper.
Let me finish the story. I took that term paper, and a friend of a friend showed it to CBS Television City. They hired me to start computerizing game show scoreboards and things like that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, okay. You interrupt me, and I forgot what I was going to tell you. But
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
It was something derogatory about humanities. I look at schools of humanities, colleges of humanities and behavioral studies, and to me, they're not worth it. I think many universities should really consider revamping their curricula. Right now, as it is, you send somebody off to college to get a 4-year, say, technical degree, and they load you up with a lot of stuff in humanities. You could eliminate half or more of that nonsense.
Yeah, you did. Well, it's to keep some of these people who got degrees in art history, you know, employed and stuff. Anyway, listen, Kelly, got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Do call on in, 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone.
Welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And getting on back to racism and wokeness has been a little bit of an embarrassment out in Arizona. There are these two equity and inclusion experts, Jill Lassen and Stuart Roden. They advocate for diversity at the Scottsdale Unified School District, and they basically wrote a scathing letter of complaint regarding a disc jockey, Kim Coco Hunter, who appeared at a PTA event. They claimed he was a white guy wearing blackface, and that's racist. You can't do that. Can't do that. Actually, turns out Kim Coco Hunter is a real, honest black individual, and so these two diversity experts who couldn't spot that, they've apologized now, but you know, again, it's like they're seeing racism where it doesn't exist. You know, if you took the word racism out of our vocabulary, liberals would have nothing to talk about. You know, hey, how about those Lakers? Something like that. Meanwhile, at a high school in Sacramento, California, there's been another hate crime hoax, and they basically vandalized a wall in the school hallway. with, you know, racist hate speeches. Turned out they were black students. I mean, there's a huge demand for racist incidents to exploit, so much so that they're having to basically engineer them themselves, because there aren't enough real racists out there to make the case there. Okay, I think we mentioned this during our call with David Duke. Oregon Democrats have introduced legislation that would give $123,000 in reparations to black Oregonians over the course of their lives. That's a lot of money. In some places in Oregon, you can buy a house for that. According to a copy of the state Senate bill, the government will pay six figures to any person who can demonstrate they are a descendant of American slaves and have identified as African American on legal documents. And it all sounds well and good, except that the slave owners are all dead, and so are all the slaves. And Oregon was never a slave state. When it was admitted to the Union, it was admitted as a free state. There was never any slavery in Oregon. Now, if somebody in Oregon is a descendant of slaves, go to the state where the slaves were and, you know, and ask them for money. You'll probably get laughed at. You know, we're seeing that mess down in California where they're trying to decide if people who can prove that the descendants of slaves should get the money, or all the blacks should get the money, and it's already dividing the black community. California was a free state. They were never a slave state. Now, because of the Compromise of 1850, some states that were, well, all the states that were free were required to allow escaped slaves who were captured in their state to be returned back to their owners. That was certainly true in New Hampshire, where my mother's family came from. And abolitionists really didn't agree with that. In fact, that anger that was building over that issue was one of the causes that Lincoln exploited to get the Civil War going. But that's why my ancestors ran a station on the Underground Railroad. They thought escaped slaves should be allowed to get to Canada and freedom, and so they set up this smuggling network here. Okay, Davidson College has decided to make permanent its test optional policy for applicants for admission. You can apply to Davidson College, and if you don't feel like submitting your SAT or ACT scores because they're too low, you no longer have to. Okay, so there were that. Meanwhile, over in Oberlin College, an Ohio court ordered them to pay Gibson's Bakery $33 million for defamation damages in 2019 after the college's dean of students orchestrated a woke mob into slandering the family as racist for calling the police on three black students who were caught shoplifting. Okay? And came on out and said, it's racist, it's racist, you call the cops just because they're black. No, we called the cops because they were stealing from us. The money was supposed to be paid by April the 1st. The college is still refusing to pay it, okay? And by the way, two of the plaintiffs, the black individuals, are now, two of the plaintiffs are now deceased, and they're just saying, no, it was racist, we're going to say that, and we are not going to pay the money here. All right, we got callers on the line. Peter in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I talked yesterday about all the stuff about how chairmanships in the Congress and are bought and sold, and I brought up the Jane Harmon story, right?
Yeah, I remember that
and
one.
How the ADL, and how the ADL promised her if she'd kill an investigation on a bunch of Israeli ADL spies, that they would secure her the chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee, and it was discovered that they did that. So Pelosi wasn't able to offer that, so she went to some other thing, which I think was Homeland Security. But nevertheless, what I want to call what's related to that is today Gonzalo Lira. Do you know who he is?
I've heard the name. Yes,
Gonzalo Lira is one of the most intelligent, honest, and courageous bloggers that have been coming from behind from inside Kharkov. He's a Dartmouth American citizen, went to Dartmouth from Chile originally, and lives in Ukraine with the Ukrainian wife and family, but is just for truth and has been broadcasting, inside Kharkov, very honestly, very, his commentary is right on. At any rate,
he's in a great deal of danger, isn't he?
In a place where there, where anybody who disagrees at all, any truth at all, you get, tied to a telephone pole and beaten or worse. Yeah, it's horrible. And it's much worse than that. Apparently, he did a wonderful, 2 hour, almost 2 hour video on Victoria Nuland on March 27th. It's Gonzalo. So you can Google or you can, look up Gonzalo Lira on Victoria Nuland, and it's a great, absolutely wonderful video. Well, he did another video about a week and a half ago saying that, that if something happens to him, it's the Daily Beast, in the United States, which is responsible. That they leaked his location.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and apparently he's been missing for several days now. Dark web, I sent you all this stuff, says that his head was cut off by the Ukrainian Jewish Nazis. And by the way, the reason why the Daily Beast is important here is because James Harmon's husband, who used to own Newsweek and also founded the Daily Beast, another Israeli firster, for blowing the whistle on Victoria Nuland, this guy's head got chopped off. So you might want to send all this stuff to you today.
Yeah, I'll take a look into it. I'll definitely take a look into it.
It's really worth it just to listen to his March 27th thing, and then about his 5 minutes saying, if anything happens to me, he literally was fingered for death by the Daily Beast. Jane Harmon's Jewish husband in the United States, who couldn't stand the truth. So there you go. One good story led to another from yesterday. So thought I'd let you know about that.
All right. Well, thank you. Could you shoot me an email with some of the details on that?
I sent you all of it this morning, Mike.
Oh, okay. I'll go back and I'll take a look through there.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That's it for me.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to Dan in South Dakota. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just kind of, thinking about Elon Musk and Twitter and Ford Motor. What's more important? What's more important to America, Netflix, Twitter, or Ford Motor Company?
Well, that doesn't really have an easy answer. I mean, Netflix apparently is in some trouble. I think their stock took a major hit today.
Well, yeah, Netflix lost $40 billion in market cap, but Ford Motor Company is only worth $63 billion.
Okay.
That's all of Ford Motor Company's market cap. We're talking worldwide operations. And so what people don't understand is a website is basically just an air-conditioned room with a bunch of servers. And it's a pile of cables behind them where nobody knows which way they go. Okay? And they got a
Yeah, that's why you always label your cables. You get one of those little labelers, you put little, or you'll never figure it out.
But what we got here is unexplainable size of overvalued stocks in the market. And if the rigging ever comes off of this stuff, it's not even going to be able to be explained. This stuff is so overvalued. I mean, I think I was just watching CNBC, and they said that Netflix's market cap now is only $155 billion. Well, that's 10 times the size of the market cap of Ford Motor Company. So if this market crashes, I will say this, you won't get out. This thing crashes someday. It will open up down 10 to 15,000 the first trade on the morning. I mean, so
the insiders will get out, and everybody else is going to get stuck with the bill.
And you got to remember, these websites like Twitter, and Elon is trying to buy Twitter. He's really going to throw $47 billion into a website, which is basically no different than it has the fickleness of a bar. A bar crowd is fickle. I mean, remember MySpace? Look, that's dead in the water.
Yeah, that one definitely went away. Well, you know,
yeah, I mean, Twitter does represent,
you know, a system of control of the population, and that's why you've got all these, big money people are in there. Because right now they're continuing their fortunes, they're continuing the manipulation of the stock market is based on being able to feed stuff to people that they'll say, oh, I got to go out and I got to buy this stock and that stock. And there's a lot of stock information that's being put out on Twitter, some of which is completely fraudulent.
Well, you know, I find it almost amusing that Elon Musk is going to try to get, if he really does, get it. You mean he likes the limelight a little bit.
I don't blame him.
But, you know, for him to, if he gets a hold of Twitter, look, they're not going to let him get a hold of Twitter.
They're going to find some way to block him. You know, they're already launching all these investigations into him. And, the government is trying to reassert a monopoly on what the American people are thinking. They're going to block Musk from getting Twitter. They've forced Alex Jones into bankruptcy. And, at some point they'll get down to us little players like RBN and whatreallyhappened.com.
You know, Mike, I got one more thing about Alex Jones. You know, why wouldn't Alex Jones' lawyer in discovery asked to see the official crime scene photos of all those slaughtered children by Lanza.
I don't
really know about this. You know, how can you, this lawsuit I am very suspicious of, if this is more about scaring people into silence.
That's exactly what it's all about. And in Alex Jones cases, and in the one of that Halbig, the school safety expert, I mean, the judge was just there throwing the case to the plaintiffs. You know, it was about as crooked as you could get.
Yeah, I don't know. But, it's any lawyer. My brother-in-law is a lawyer, and he says, well, why don't you just ask for the official crime scene photos? And if they came up with them, if they couldn't come up with them, what do you got? And you then have metadata on them too. It's hard to fake it. So I'm suspicious of this stuff.
You can alter the metadata on images. You know, once it's on a memory card, you can go in there with editing tools. I mean, there's a lot of fakery possible once things are computerized. That was one of the big complaints when Obamacare mandated computerization of medical records, is that doctors who'd committed malpractice could go into the computer and change the medical record to conceal what they'd done. Anyway, Dan, we're getting really short on time. We're going to skip the last commercial break, but I got a bunch of callers to get through, so we're going to go to John in Colorado. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. The story earlier talking about that disc jockey. I guess the meeting that, he was actually black. And, they're all embarrassed. I said, if it was the other way around, I can't think of it. I'm sorry. ADL, that, how come they're not right on those people no matter what? Well, because they're woke, they're liberal, they won't touch it, they won't say anything. Jesse Smollett, he was convicted, but they didn't put him in jail. If it was the other way around, it'd be all over the map, all over the papers, and those kind of things.
That guy that shot up that shopping mall is already out on bail, and all the January 6th protesters are still in jail, denied bail, for basically acting like tourists in the Capitol building.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's how the media treats it. People have to look into that. And like RBN, American Free Press, all that, you get the other side of the news, the truth mostly, and you follow that. You had to go with that. I look at too many things, even my own family, reading YouTube and all this stuff, and it's just all the opposite of everything. And you got to go beyond it. But I was going to say that until that happens, it's going to continue, or people are going to just stop contributing, or contributing to Twitter or Facebook and all that stuff, and they got nothing. That's the best at all. But thanks for, like I said, all you do in that, you keep keeping it up, because that's what I look forward to every day you're on.
Just as long as I can, I will keep on doing that. Anyway, John, we're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to John in Little Rock. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, man, you don't know nothing about reparations, man. I'm going to check you on this one. As a black man, I think I know what I'm talking about. First of all, I want to give my respect to my buddy, the man that got me into radio, Rick Adams. I miss you, man, whatever. I know you're in a good place. Reparations was just a tool used by the Democrats, make the shortest possible, to get black people to vote.
Yes.
They had 2 years to get this thing ready. Oh, now all of a sudden it's midterm. Hey, we got it passed now. But you ain't going to get it passed in the Senate. You know why? Because Mitch McConnell, I hold my dead body before I vote for another similar check. He's the great-great-grandson of a slave owner. Did you know that?
No, I did not, but I don't think that may be his sole motivation. I mean, the idea of taking money away from people who've committed no crime to give to people who have not been the victim of a crime is just plain silly. And again, my ancestors ran a station on the Underground Railroad. Now, can you imagine me going up to Canada, finding the descendants of those escaped slaves helped by my ancestors, and saying, you owe me money for that? They would laugh me off their front porch, and they would be absolutely right to do so.
Well, Mike, me and you are going to have some disagreements, but on my radio show at Radio Occupied America, I'm going full blast. So I'll send you the podcast when I'm done with it.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing it.
Thank Rick. He's the guy that got me into it.
Well, I know. Alex Jones is the guy who got me into talk radio, and while we didn't always agree on things, I'm very sorry that it looks like we may lose him, and that would be a tragedy. Anyway, John, thank you very much for the phone call. We do have some open lines here still, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. The caller you had in previously, Dan, when he said that websites are basically just servers in a cooled room, there's nothing more truthful than that. There's nothing there. It's just data. There's nothing of substance. So how can a company like Ford Motor Company be worth less than a room full of servers with people's opinions on it, on all those hard drives? It makes sense whatsoever.
You know, it's the expectation of the earnings from things like advertising. There's a lot of paid advertising on Twitter. And, it does have a global reach.
Yes, it does. And it's as crooked as the monetary system.
Yes.
Why people, Mike, you know that I don't use a cell phone, and I'm not I don't use any of these platforms that they call social media for the very simple reason that, number one, I don't believe in them, and number two, if anybody's going to make any money off of my data, it's going to be me and not some guy that's going to try and buy up Hawaii and kick everybody off.
Yeah.
So they're very, like, I think people need to really reevaluate their lives and what's important to them. Because as I grow older, there are two things that I realize is, number one, life doesn't last forever, so
no,
don't waste it. And number two, there's nothing that is comparable to family and friends. Nothing. There's no possession. There's no amount of knowledge. There's no amount of money that can replace that. Anyway,
well,
the
older I get, the more I recognize the wisdom in that. And, incident we just went through with Claire, kind of reminded me what my priorities in life are. And Claire is at the top of the list.
That's it. You can say that again, Mike. Oh, just one other quick thing. So up in Canada, this guy Patrick King is being denied bail because he was, apparently the organizer of this big, what do they call it, in Ottawa, that big trucker thing, right?
Yeah, the Freedom Caucus.
He's also the same guy who won the court case against the provincial and federal government when he was fined for being in a crowd without a mask. And he said, prove to me that there's a pandemic. Show me this isolated virus. And the province of Alberta and the provincial government, the Crown attorneys got involved, couldn't do it. So these guys, so this goes to show you how petty some people are.
Yes.
We're paying, that the government, you know, that works in the government, it takes the taxpayers' dollars. They're so petty that they're gonna try and do something like this to the guy that bruised their egos. You know, it's disgusting and it's disgraceful. That's all I have, Mike. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call here. And we got a couple of minutes left here. Let me fit in some news here. Disney is taking a major blow. They're finding out that going woke does make you go broke. Washington Examiner is reporting that nearly 7 in 10 Americans upset with Disney's LGBTQ movement don't want to do business with Mickey Mouse. They're going to be seeking out family-friendly alternatives. And that was 68.2% of voters say they're less likely to do business with Disney. And we have been hearing that people are canceling their subscriptions to the Disney Plus streaming service. I'm certainly not going to sign up for it here. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, DeSantis is taking aim at Disney's special district. Disney got this special little district in Florida. It encompasses the 40 miles of Disney's empire, if you will. And they have total control over that area. They're basically their own regional government. And DeSantis now wants to end Disney World's special status and say, you are part of the state of Florida. You are subject to the laws of Florida and subject to Florida regulatory control. Okay. Meanwhile, over at Black Lives Matter, which is in big trouble with the IRS, I understand, they're dealing with the fact that they violated charity transparency laws. And so co-founder Patrice Cullors was in an interview saying that transparency laws are triggering. I'm triggered by the transparency laws. They're bad. They're bad. So, yeah, boy, Black Lives Matter was just a joke really here. Meanwhile, a resurfaced video has shown Dr. Oz praising Jussie Smollett after the hoax attack. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the program here. And stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog is taking the microphone. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Thank you to everybody who continues to donate and keep us going in these very, very difficult times. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.